I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Ready or not, here comes Christmas, just a week away. Lucy said it almost every week. I thought I should follow in the trend. We're not surprised by the timing of Christmas. It tends to arrive about the same time every year. And since we know when Christmas is coming, at some point we begin cleaning, sending cards, making or buying gifts, baking cookies, and confessing our sins because we remember the message of John the Baptist. When we expect something, we eventually start preparing for it. If you're a student and you know that you have a final exam on Friday, you begin studying by Monday, right? If you have a big project at work, you break it up into an action plan or into smaller pieces that makes the huge job seem less intimidating. Or maybe you don't. So we're all ready for Christmas, right? Actually, we're not, because many of us still have trouble getting ready even for what we know is coming. And it's much easier to plan for and prepare for events we expect, such as Christmas, a test, or a project, than it is to deal with disappointments or heartaches that come suddenly and unexpectedly, like a car accident or a layoff, an illness, the death of a loved one, or the news of an unexpected pregnancy. Our dreams for the future can be forever altered when unexpected disappointment invades our lives. This morning's gospel is about how Joseph deals with an unexpected pregnancy. It's about how he responds to an unexpected change in his and Mary's lives and their future. Depending on our circumstances, the Christmas season can be a time of celebration, joy, laughter, and fun, or a poignant emotional time of grief, heartache, loneliness, and disappointment. Often it's a mixture of both. In the midst of the unexpected changes and heartaches in our own lives, the story of Jesus' birth reminds us that God is with us no matter what. In this passage from Matthew, Jesus had resolved to break his engagement to Mary, who was to be his wife. His dreams of a happy marriage and family had been dashed by Mary's incredible news that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. How's a guy supposed to respond to news like that? How could he be expected to believe that story? I can imagine Joseph lying in bed, unable to sleep, tossing and turning, wrestling with what to do. One moment he's angry, another embarrassed, then bitter, hurt, disappointed. We can feel the emotions and thoughts that must have made it agonizing for him to decide what to do. Rather than publicly expose Mary to ridicule, disgrace, or worse for what he thought was her infidelity, he decides to quietly end the engagement. He will pick up the pieces of his broken dream and will start over with someone else. When he finally falls to sleep, long after the dark night has passed, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream and speaks to him reassuringly that he should go ahead and take Mary to be his wife. God's dream for Joseph and Mary's lives was quite different than what they had actually talked about or imagined. Often that's the case in our lives as well. Our dreams don't always turn out the way we hope. Sometimes it's because of human failure or weakness. Sometimes there's simply no answer. Mary and Joseph's dreams didn't turn out the way they initially hoped or expected. But both of them were sustained by their faith and coped incredibly well. And in relationships within families, hardships, work, or the church, we sometimes hurt, are disappointed and confused, as Joseph surely was when Mary announced her pregnancy. Like Joseph and Mary, our dreams and plans of the future can change suddenly and dramatically. Life doesn't go the way we envisioned it would. Yet in Joseph's life, there was a larger purpose at work that superseded his idea of what his marriage and family would be like. God was prepared to bring something good out of a situation that seemed terribly disappointing. In our lives, God also can bring good out of painful situations. And while this doesn't lessen our heartache or our heartbreak, it may help us to go forward, perhaps with greater compassion or understanding. This Christmas, perhaps some of us find ourselves like Joseph, with dreams that have not been fulfilled. Life hasn't turned out the way we planned or hoped. The decisions we face when this happens is how we will choose to respond when our plans are frustrated. Consider how Joseph responded. We all handle depressing, unexpected news in different ways. Some of us go to bed and try to sleep away our problems because we don't want to face them or we feel overwhelmed by them. Other people engage in risky behavior like using alcohol or drugs. Sometimes we turn to God for help and guidance. Since Joseph was a godly man, I assume that he prayed about his disappointment and how he should respond. Matthew says that Joseph went to sleep having made up his mind to dismiss Mary quietly without exposing her to public disgrace. He had his plan. However, as many of the Psalms teach us, when we're lying in our bed at night, often God will instruct us. God had a plan and a purpose for Joseph and Mary, and a plan for the world. It was a plan that included the birth of a baby who came to teach us about God's unconditional love. Christmas reminds us that Jesus has come so that we can be saved from our failures and mistakes. Because Jesus was born, we are never truly alone. God is with us. Joseph awakes from sleep a new man. What a startling and comforting announcement. His disappointment is replaced with reassurance. Mary is telling the truth. God is not always silent in our unexpected disappointments. When Joseph wakes from sleep, he does what the angel of the Lord commanded him to do. God's story of salvation hinges on Joseph's obedience in the midst of his unexpected disappointment. Now, Mary gets far more publicity and attention than Joseph, and perhaps deservedly so. We never hear about Joseph after Jesus' childhood, and it's very likely that he died before Jesus began his ministry. Mary, on the other hand, is present at Jesus' death and is praying with the first believers when the Holy Spirit comes upon the early church in Acts. I suspect her memories and experiences are reflected especially in Luke's gospel. Mary is the one who is betrayed in great works of art for centuries to come and who appears on the cover of news magazines. Mary gets the publicity. But Joseph is the one in Matthew's gospel who has a critical decision to make. Joseph can doubt what Mary said and ruin her life. Or he can believe what she said and what she and the angels have said and defend and stand by her. Three times in Matthew's account of Jesus' birth and infancy, Joseph is visited by an angel who tells him to do something. Three times, Joseph gets up and does exactly what he's been told to do. I believe it's very significant that we never hear Joseph speak a single word. His actions speak louder than words. When God's messenger tells him what to do, he is not portrayed as doubting, questioning, hurtful, fearful, bargaining, or controlling. He acts. Joseph is a man of action, and he does what needs to be done. We can all benefit from learning from his example. When we're faced with unexpected or untimely disappointments in life, we face a similar challenge as Joseph and Mary. How will we respond? We may come up with a plan of our own, or we can add to our own thoughts by seeking God in prayer, searching the scriptures, and asking for the wise counsel of friends. The plans we come up with on our own usually make sense to us because, after all, we thought of them. God's plan for us often involves the unexpected, the surprising. We may not like the odds or the size of the challenge. God's plan may really stretch us and require great faith and unhesitating obedience. I'm not saying we don't use our minds. We should apply all of our intellect to our faith. But like Joseph and Mary, it's important for us to listen to and obey what God asks us to do, even if that may at times seem unexpected or surprising. Those of us who worship God don't just listen to angels, scriptures, or sermons. We do what God commands. Even if it seemed then or still seems incredible to us today, Mary and Joseph believed in God and believed that God could be trusted. Those are the choices we all have to make, and they set the direction of our life. The message of Christmas is about how, in the gift of Jesus, God offers all of us new life, new beginnings, and hope in the midst of our disappointment, our heartache, and our grief. We are loved unconditionally. Our sins can be forgiven. We are not alone. We don't give up. We keep the faith. We keep on believing. Henry Nouwen said, "This is the great conversion in our life. To recognize and believe that the many unexpected events are not just disturbing interruptions in our projects, but are the way in which God molds our hearts and prepares us for our return. Prepares us for his return." I want to offer this prayer from Thomas Merton in his book, that he has in his book, Thoughts in Solitude. Let us pray. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have the desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. That if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.